sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace from God, who creates us from the clay of the earth, from Jesus, who always comes to us, not the other way around, especially when we are scared about our security, like in the text today, locked behind closed doors. And grace to you and peace from the Holy Spirit, who comforts us and nudges us. Amen. I used that term nudging yesterday in confirmation class. I showed the kids an image of a mother elephant nudging her baby, as an image of the Holy Spirit nudging us. It was the summer of CPE in 2003 for me. CPE is Clinical Pastoral Education, some of you know, and this is a requirement in seminary. One has to do one unit of CPE, that is one summer of clinical pastoral education. Most of us did this in a hospital where we work as a chaplain, but you could also work in a prison, or there were different, more creative urban CPEs available. I worked at Loyola in Chicago on the west side, and it was a powerful year. Lots to learn during that time. In fact, actually, did you know one of our own, Ramona Daly, was a CPE supervisor some years ago in Philadelphia? Anyway, as the summer went on, I had become increasingly frustrated with myself and my lack of medical knowledge, working on hospital floors, working in the hospital and being unfamiliar with certain diseases and treatments is a little embarrassing. And I had a friend, fortunately, who was in medical school at the time, and we were talking about this, and he had given me the name of a book as thick, literally as thick as the Bible, simply entitled Diseases. Maybe those of you who are doctors know this book. He said it was the Bible for med students. Basically, as far as information goes, this is what we memorize over the course of our studies, he said. So I was curious, and I got that book, and I will never forget the day that I received a call to go and visit a family whose little daughter had just been diagnosed with a terminal cancer. So I had learned what the cancer was that she had. I can't remember what it was now. And before going to visit this family, I thought I'd just read up a little on the cancer that she had. Figured one of the best gifts I could give this family would be to show them that I knew something about her disease. I'd like to tell you that I figured out that I was totally on the wrong track before I got to the patient's room, before I got to the family's room. But the truth is, the ego gets in the way so often, and I walked into that tragic situation thinking that being armed with information would be good. After a few lines of questions which revealed that I knew something about that specific form of cancer, the light finally went off for me. This family could care less about me knowing the details of their daughter's disease, the details of the stage that she was in, especially in my role as the chaplain. What would be far more helpful for them is simply my being present with them, my offering them prayer, my listening ear. CPE, you spend the morning on the floor, and that's when this happened, and then you go back and you process in your larger group. So the group that of other students helped me with this. And after that, needless to say, I didn't use the book on disease so much. I went back to my pastoral care notes instead. I tell this story as an illustration of being totally on the wrong track. Our gospel lesson today is about Thomas and Jesus, and so often we can make this story all about Thomas, the great doubter. I would put that in quotes. He's even seen almost like a villain. At least that was how I started to understand it growing up, anyway. I remember almost feeling guilted into believing in Jesus because of this story, especially with these last few verses, you know, about how Jesus, so that these things are told to us so that we may come to believe even without seeing. So you better believe, otherwise you have no faith. I would venture to say that that's totally missing the point too. That's totally off track. It's like me filling my head with medical information. That's totally on the wrong track. Friends, this is a story about Jesus, not Thomas. This text is not meant to strike fear. It's not meant to guilt people into believing, as I had experienced, I think, in my childhood. This is a story instead about the peace of Christ entering and carrying the disciples through despite a clearly fear-filled, insecure situation. Let's go back to the text. Remember, this is the first Easter evening in John's gospel. Jesus had appeared only to Mary Magdalene. As the Easter story goes, we told the story from Mark last Sunday, but in John's Easter gospel, Jesus appears only to Mary Magdalene. So the disciples are locked behind closed doors in the evening with rumors swirling around the city. It was a terrifying time. A body was missing from the tomb, Jesus' body. There was much fear and trembling. The locked doors in this story are such a powerful symbol. They symbolize fear. They symbolize an unwillingness to engage the world. Locked doors, maybe even more than Thomas, symbolize doubt. The locked doors symbolize doubt, mistrust in the power of Christ to be our refuge and protection. Locked doors symbolize faith instead in structures and resources, faith in money to keep us safe instead. Those locked doors are a powerful symbol. And this is a story about Jesus bringing peace into insecure situation. Jesus showing up despite the locked doors and Jesus promising never to leave us. It's interesting, in John's gospel, Jesus never ascends into heaven. Have you ever noticed that? In John's gospel, Jesus never ascends into heaven. Actually, the same is true in Matthew and Mark. It's only Luke who tells of a bodily ascension into heaven. What do you do with that? I think it's a powerful reminder to us. Three out of the four gospels don't have an ascension story where Jesus in bodily form rises up into the clouds. I think it's a powerful reminder that Jesus never really leaves us. He just keeps showing up in different ways, despite locked doors, in different situations. Different situations of insecurity. What doors are you locked behind? Watch for Christ to show up there anyway. Sometimes, Jesus, the living God, is in our midst, but we miss it because of our distrust. Our distrust kind of befuddles everything. Our doubt just blurs our vision. Just like me in the hospital, my vision was blurred by my ego. There's some distrust there. My armor of information, my need to impress. But there before me are human beings in need of care and prayer and loving presence. Jesus was there, but I missed it. What blurs your vision? quick story. For the last two Easters here at Bethlehem, we have covered a cross with flowers. And last year, it was a small cross. It was the cross that I had cut our Christmas tree, our congregation's Christmas tree. I cut it at the end of the season into a cross, and it was our Lenten cross. And then I covered it with that chicken wire, and you came and covered it with flowers. And in the same way, last week, you came and covered our cross with flowers. Our 14-foot-high cross was completely covered with flowers. Both years, I have been completely distrustful that it would fill up. And both years, I just can't learn. Both years, the people come. You come and fill the cross with flowers. It is beautiful. It's a lesson for me in trust. My vision was blurred. I didn't get it. I think this text implies that Thomas doesn't get it. Until Jesus walks right up to him and shows him his wounds. It almost seems to imply on the second visit of Jesus here, it almost seems to imply that he was there with the disciples and Thomas didn't even notice Jesus until Jesus says, "Look, Thomas, look, look." He goes over to Thomas, it says, and he says, "Look at my side. Look at my hands and my feet." You know, this story tells us nothing new about Thomas or about ourselves, actually. We have a little Thomas inside of each of us, I think, irking us. And that's fine. I think that's human, that doubt. It's like, really? Show me. Show me. It's part of being Christian, actually. We have this Thomas inside of us, too. What this tells us, nothing new about Thomas, but what it tells us is something about the risen Christ. Here's what it teaches us. This text teaches us that Christ shows up, rises up, first of all, whenever brutal violence is real. Look, Thomas, look at the nails, the nail holes in my hands and my feet. Look, Thomas, touch the stab wound in my side. Jesus shows up when there is real violence. Where in our lives, as Christians, must we get real about the brutality and violence of this world, of our human condition? How are people and the planet itself, all creation, brutalized by violence, hatred, ignorance, or apathy? Where is Jesus coming up to us? It's like we don't notice until he walks up to us and says, "Look, touch this. See this brutality that has been inflicted." Friends, this tells us that whenever, wherever that happens, the risen Christ shows up. And here's the second part. Breathes peace. Right in the midst of the violence, Jesus shows up and breathes peace. I would unofficially call this Sunday Peace Sunday. Count the number of times the word peace is used in our liturgy today. Where in your life do you receive a deep sense of peace, even amid the crush of deadlines to keep, chaos all around, even especially amid the brutality and violence of this world, Romans and Herodians rushing through our cities, banging on our doors, clamoring to keep everyone in line, frightening the populace, terrorizing the underprivileged? How is that happening in our world today? Know that this risen Christ meets us right in the middle of that and breathes, offers, fills us with peace. A peace that the world cannot give and know. It's almost like we need to find a different word. That's the peace, by the way, that we share with each other every Sunday morning. We say, "Peace of Christ be with you." It's based on this episode in John's Gospel today. Resurrection peace. And all that's wrapped up in forgiveness. It says, receive the forgiveness. Peace and forgiveness go hand in hand. This is the peace that passes all human understanding. It's a peace that sticks, just like Christ. Christ is here despite all the despites. Despite it all, Christ is here promising to forgive us, to lead us, and to stick with us always. In the midst of doubt, distrust, chaos, brutality, insecurity, God's peace be with you. God's peace is with you. love overcoming fear. God's peace is with you, divine presence, overcoming ego and an arsenal of information. God's peace is with you, friends, life overcoming death. This new life in God is yours. This peace is here for you to receive now, this day and forever. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.